hearts, our minds to receive your word.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, it's all yours, Eli.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Eli.
So this morning's topic title is Ridiculous Grace. And I know some, maybe you have probably heard that song from Tori Knows Known. Well, the first time I heard that, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I was in the car with somebody that's not a believer, just follow, but they don't really believe. I'm like, man, if I was in this person's footsteps, I'm listening to the song like, you guys are crazy. I relate ridiculous with something that's, yeah, like, whatever. Yeah, whatever, anyways. But today, I'm grateful that Pastor Don is here, because most of the times I teach, he's not here. And I don't know if most of you guys...
That's a blessing. Wait till this is over before you...
But most of you guys know that Pastor Don is always here to back you up. So he's like yin and yang, you know, cool water and old spice, kind of like that. So it's good to have him here with us. Now, I do have to... I said cool water. It's pretty old, too. I do have to admit, though, this is not the topic I had at all. Last Sunday, I was in church, and I'll show you guys my notes on my phone. And during the sermon, I was just, for no reason, it just started clicking, and I just started writing notes and writing notes and writing notes and then looking for stuff. And I was like, cool. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, you know, I just had it having second thoughts. And then we started thinking during the men's breakfast. It started with Nico talking to me. And it's ironic because we had two of the same experiences this week. And then Bernie started talking, and I'm like, well, yeah. And then yesterday, I kept trying to say, like, nope, I got it. I still have it. I'm using what I got. And then last night, like at 10:40, I started having to change everything. You know, and I'm like, why? But anyways, there's a purpose. So, from what I've seen in my life, God has this weird thing that he's attracted to people with many, many flaws, right? And he uses these people that are full of flaws to bring sermons and bring messages and bring what we don't see, right? But sometimes us as religious people, we have this religious filter that we use, right? And whether we want to or not, it just happens. So I was raised Pentecostal. I don't know if many of you have had a Pentecostal experience. But a Pentecostal experience is the filter is, everything gets filtered out. So you have to walk a certain way, you have to talk a certain way, you have to be a certain person. Ray knows this. Or you can't even participate in praying for people. You know, you're sheltered. And it's amazing because you're like, really? You're going to shelter me? You know? You're going to shelter me because I choose to do something. But in God's infinite mercy and that ridiculous grace that he has for us, you know, all the times that we fall short, he always seems to find something or uses something that we can relate to bring us out of despair and this dark place that we can find ourselves in. One of the things that it's ironically, sometimes we put limits on ourselves. So about 5 years ago, I started working in this company, and the CEO of the company, to me, as to most people, is top of the food chain, right? This dude or this lady is just living it up. And I had asked for God to take me out of this workplace for some, again, I'm dumb sometimes, you know, we just... You know, and I relate to the story that you were saying where you wanted out and then where they told you you were going to go, you're like, yeah, I want to stay. That's how I was. So when this opportunity was given to me to stay within the company, the most ironic part that I didn't expect was to build a friendship with our CEO because he was in this account weekly. And we built the relationship, and at first it was nothing but business. And then he broke down. And this past Wednesday we had no school yet. He said, hey, you still want to have lunch with me? I'm like, you live in Davison. You're going to drive all the way down here just to have lunch with me? Cool. I'll have lunch with you. So we're sitting in this lunch meeting, and still, you know, I open the door for the CEO. I let him walk in. Sometimes we just forget that in God's eyes, we're either saved or not saved. We're his children, period. That's it. There's no labels. There's no titles. So we're sitting, and him and I are talking, and he was raised in Baptist and extremely strict, and we start talking about life. And I said, do you have brothers? And he's like, family. He's like, yeah, I have a brother. And my brother, he's telling me a little bit about his brother. I'm like, does he come visit you? And he said, oh, no. I'm like, man, okay. I get it. I have a brother that doesn't like me either. And then I said, so where does your brother live? He's like, oh, in California with my mom. I go see him once in a while. I said, what does your brother do for a living? He chuckles. And he goes, well, my brother's one of the vice presidents of Apple.
Need to heal that relationship.
But in that moment, it's like, God, okay, you've shown me, you've had grace and mercy on me, because this person that I thought was top of the food chain has a brother that's top of the food chain to him. Mm-hmm. All right? And I'm like, well, his house must be entirely everything Apple. And he was like, just imagine somebody who has a salary of $15 million a year. Wow. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you walk around here happy, having lunch with me, right? We're building a relationship, because regardless of what I thought of you, right, you didn't see that in return. You didn't see me as a lesser person. You seen me as an equal. And a lot of our conversations are about God and church and so on and so forth. Again, it's like, it's ridiculous the amount of grace that the Lord has for us. And to the flesh, like in our carnal flesh, it makes no sense. Like, it makes no sense to us how God uses certain people or certain situations to show us how much he loves us and the amount of grace he has for us. Right? But there's a purpose for all of us. There's a purpose for even the horrible things that we may have done in life, in our sin, in our past life. I was talking to Ricardo today while we were having breakfast. And I said, hey, brother, have you ever made a cake? He's like, yeah. I'm like, does your cake look just like the cake in the bakeries? He's like, never. And I said, do you know that it's the same process? Same exact process, man. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, I use the one of a box. I said, they use the box, but they just use it in a big old sack. It's the same thing. And it's Betty Crocker, because I used to work in a bakery. So he's laughing. He's like, no. I said, the difference is they form their cakes. They come out of the oven the same way you bring yours out of the oven. They have a lump. They have rough edges. They don't look pretty. But here's the baker, and the baker starts to sculpt, right? And the baker starts to form a cake, in a perfectly squared cake, right? He's like, okay. And I said, so that's how I see God doing with us. Right, when we come from this life of sin, we come as this oblong deformity, right, that doesn't look pretty to the eye, but God sees what's underneath. So he starts to form us, and he starts to cut us, and he starts to make a perfect square. And I tell him, but you know what happens to those renderings that he cuts off? And he's like, no. I said, have you ever walked into a bakery and you've seen a cake cup? He's like, yeah. So in a lot of Hispanic bakeries and a lot of upscale bakeries, you'll find cake cups. There's no mold for cake cups. Those cake cups are all the renderings that were cut from that deformity. They were all cut up and broken and put into a cake, into a cup, made look pretty, all dolled up, and then sold again. It's exactly what God does with everything that we did. He repurposes us. He repurposes the way we used to talk, the way we used to walk, the way we used to act, right? And he repurposes it, and he keeps it, not us. But he keeps it in a safe place so that we don't come looking for it. But when we're ready and when it's needed, it comes back into play and it builds a bond with the person that we're trying to speak with. Mm-hmm. And I told Ricardo, like, all the renderings that we have, brother, he saves. We bury, but he knows when it's time to unbury them and use them. Right? But the craziest stuff, it's ridiculous to me. Because in life, we all think we got it right. Like, I know what I'm doing. And he understands what we are not doing and what we do wrong. Here's just a couple examples. So in Genesis 9, 20 through 26, it speaks of Noah, right? And how many know the story of Noah, superhero, right? I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. I'm going to read a little fast so that we have a little bit of time, if that's okay with everyone. It says, Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves. Will he be to his brothers?" Right? So here we see Noah as a drunkard, right? Acting a fool. From my point of view, he was acting a fool, right? But we all know that this was after the fact, right? After everything had happened. So God lifted him up, used him to save humanity. But that's the part that many of us see, right? Most people stop reading right there and say, "Oh yeah, he was great," and that was it. A lot of us fail to see what he did after the fact. And at the end of that verse, it says, after the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and he died. So God put him up here, right? He did something great, and he himself brought himself down here to the lowest of the lowest. I believe that was his grandchild. Am I correct, Pastor? Yes. Canaan. And he cursed him, said, "You're going to be a slave," right? And yet he lived. That's an example of God's, what I mean by ridiculous grace, right? Most of us, after seeing something like that happen, we're like, you're done. In your job, if you show up to your job drunk, you're done. There is no second chances, right? You're out. But God, in his infinite mercy and glory, look what he did with Noah, the amount of years that he gave him beforehand. I mean, after the fact, after what he had done. Now I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them as they were at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." That's Moses, right? And it says in the Bible that he killed somebody, correct?
Yep.
What did Moses end up doing? What do we all know Moses for doing? Right? Not only did the Lord give him the most prized occupation, like, hey, yes, I know you were a killer. I know what you did, but I'm going to have you, and I'm going to have you free my people. So you're not going to take life. You're going to give life to these people, right? You're going to give their generation life, you know? Way after that. And I'm sitting here like, in my feeble mind, I've always thought, you know, God only lifts the greatest people up, right? God only has, you know, those that become evangelists and leaders and teachers are only those that have always been great. And
they were never downriver.
But when you sit here and you read when you read the word of God and you see that, nope, he took mere mortals, sinners, literally sinners. I mean, I don't know how many of us would kill somebody, but and
Southwest Detroit, that was before breakfast.
But it's the fact that he's taken people, right? what Noah had done, what Moses had done, and he repurposed them. He repurposed their life. He repurposed their skills to do something great. Great for the people of Israel. And it's amazing to see when you get the backstory of a lot of these things. When we think of Samson and David, adulterers, and what God did with them, you're still sitting here like, man, you're amazing. You're amazing, God, the grace that you have with us. And yesterday, I once again, God opened up my eyes to let me see that the grace that he has or the message that he has doesn't always come in the envelope that we expect it to come in.
Right?
And that's where sometimes we have to look at ourselves. Earlier today, I was sitting in the kitchen. I took out a sack of potatoes, and all these potatoes were dry, super, super dry. So I was going to rinse them out first, and I said, yeah, I'll chop them and I'll rinse them all together, right? So how many of you have bought potatoes before? You know, they're nasty, right? Ironically, I started cutting into the potato, and water started coming out. And I'm sitting here, it just blew my mind. I'm like, I didn't expect water to come out. God, what's up? The outside was so disgusting, so dusty and dirty and chalky, and I start cutting into it, and it's just life comes out of this potato, and it starts to spew out of it. I'm saying, like, that's how we are sometimes. You know, we perceive somebody on the outside, on the exterior, you know, a person that may not be clean shaven, may not be well dressed, may be scruffy, but we don't know the life that they have inside of them or the ministry that the Lord has inside of them. And so we start peeling back and cutting into them and opening their mind and opening their knowledge and expanding them. So we don't see these things. And that's where, like, that's where me personally, that religious filter that I was taught, that's where I need to say, let me take this filter out of here. Let me try to walk like God wants me to walk. Let me try to have the same ridiculous grace that he has for me onto other people. Right? And it's like, you know, you got to wake up sometimes, Eli. You got to stop judging people because of what we see. Nico was speaking to me yesterday about a situation that he was having. And again, it was mirroring what I had gone through just this week. And then he tells me, he's like, out of nowhere, man, he says, my son, Christian, text this person and starts to tell this person, you're doing wrong. And he's like, and this person responds to Christian and says, sends him a verse of the Bible, you know, no judgment, you can't judge me. So he responds to him, he's like, my father was making righteous judgment. He wasn't making judgment on you as a person. He was making a righteous judgment. And Nico's like, he blew my mind. I'm like, it's crazy, bro. God used your kid, who we perceive as a child, right? But God used that child because that child was the only way to get to that other person. Because if Nico would have done it, or Madi or somebody would have done it, that other person wouldn't have paid attention. But coming from a child, it broke that person's barrier enough to keep conversating with him. And I was sitting there, I'm like, that's the first time I got to thinking that maybe this, the little message for today had to change. You know, that was the first inclination. And sometimes we don't want to accept the things that the Lord has for us. But in that ridiculous grace that he has, there's a reason for it. I got to admit, yesterday's teaching in the morning, Bernie shared with us, I was amazed. It was awesome. You know, like Ricardo said, man, there was points where I was tearing up, and there was points where I was cracking up. But there was one thing that Bernie said yesterday that had me thinking to myself, yeah, dude, you got a lot of faith, man. Bernie said, and I'm not going to share everything, but the thing that he said was, if God wants me to have a jailhouse ministry, and I was sitting there like, woo! You just slapped me in my face, God. You know, here's a man who's going through something, and he's saying, I'll accept what you got for me. If that's the ministry you want me to have, okay. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, that's not the kind I want. You know, keep me away from that ministry, because it's scary. But his faith, and there I could say ridiculous faith, because that's unwavering. That was awesome to hear from somebody. And Bernie had said that he thought his life was perfect, and now he sees that it is, but it wasn't at that time, right? And when I look at my life today, as opposed to where I was, I can continue to say, I don't have all the things that I thought I needed in life, but I have everything that the Lord tells me I'm supposed to have at this time, right? His grace is unwavering, like, ridiculously. I sit here and I think, you know, every time I start a new account with the same company, you know, my CEO goes and he's like, I got the perfect man for the job. He's going to save this account. And then I walk in and people are expecting, when you say somebody that's great, me, I'm a short dude, short, fat, and round. So I see a superhero and I always think somebody very tall, you know, fit. And then I walk in and you get this look from people. And I mean, they can't look me up and down because there's not much to look at. But they just sit there and they're like, okay. No one takes it seriously. But on Friday, and I've been in this account for a year now, on Friday, I had the opportunity to witness God's grace. And it took 12 months. So there was an incident. I went to handle this incident, and the person who hated me the most, when that meeting was done, she says, Eli, I see you're bothered a little bit. She's like, but don't worry. I know that this is not new. I see that you take pride in what you do. She's like, and I know it has nothing to do with you. I appreciate everything you've done for us. Like, he completely broke a wall, right? Completely. And I said, ooh, I tell her, are we cool? And she says, yeah. Why? I said, because I'm going to tell you the very first thing you said to me when you met me. And she says, I said, the very first thing you said to me when you met me wasn't even towards me. I said, the school liaison was trying to introduce you to me. And your exact words to him were, I'm not even going to get to know his name because he won't be here long like everybody else. And she looked at me, she said, I said that? And I said, yeah. She said, sounds like something I would say. She's like, but I'm happy you proved me wrong. And I said, it wasn't me. I said, because if it was up to me, I would have been gone. So in God's infinite mercy and grace, he used somebody who from the beginning said, nope, to then send out an email about how pleased she is with all the efforts and everything that has happened. Again, God's grace towards me, out of all the times that I have failed him, we're getting close. Out of all the times that I have failed him, he lifted me up in that instance. So I'm just going to end.
Eli, why don't we stop right there a minute?
Okay.
And the clock's off. I apologize. Okay. Usually I set it. It's a quarter till. Would you like to come back next week and finish this? Do we want him to come back next week? Yeah. Do we want more?
Yeah. Come on, man.
All right.
Okay.
Can you turn him down? Can you do it? Do you have
Yeah, I can do it.
Do it on your schedule. Rico, I bow to you. If you don't mind, I can push you back a little bit. I'll stick you in another slot, and we can. All right. Ray, are you volunteering back there? Ray, did I see you raise your hand? Were you volunteering? Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Let's give him a hand, everybody. Very good job. Very good. Who would you like to close?
I don't know. A volunteer. Whoever wants to volunteer.
Who wants to volunteer? Ray. He had his hand up.
You got to get used to volunteering. Even when you don't volunteer, you volunteer around here.
Around you, I got to ask, what am I volunteering for?
Don't worry about it.
Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, dear Lord, for what you brought us, dear Lord. We thank you for Eli being obedient to your word.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for him. We ask that you continue to bless him, Heavenly Father, and that he's bringing in your word again next week. We thank you for that, dear Lord, and we just ask that you just use us this morning, dear Lord, and that you just bless the service. And everything we do, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayer down front. Don't forget. Thank you.
Good job, Eli.
Yes, sir.